Definitely good to see everyone out this evening, and hope, trust, and play. You've had a great day, good day, nothing that's a day, but yet and still, we're blessed, and always blessed to be able to be in our right minds, and to be able to put one foot in front of the other, and blessed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to begin at verse number 1 and 2, then we're going to go on over into Proverbs chapter 6. That'll be our two scripture passages for this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, and then Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 reads as such. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm going to really set out on verse number 1. I really like this when I was in my own personal studies, and something just came across my mind, and it was, we are workers together. What does that mean? So then I started thinking about examples, and the particular study Bible I have sent me right back to Proverbs chapter 6. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to study a little one of God's creatures that not many folks have a lot of use for, and that is the ant. Subject title, Lessons from the Ant. Lessons from the Ant. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8. And it reads as such. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and they want as an armed man. Lessons from the ant. It's amazing how God designed each of his creatures differently. When you think about it, you know, sometimes we don't see that. What use is an ant to man? You ever thought about it? Why did God create all these people? And some people even say, well, couldn't Noah have killed those two mosquitoes on that ark and been all right? Don't know, because I don't see any use of mosquitoes except training. But many folks think the same thing about ants. You think about summer. You know, in my yard, I have to be very vigilant about keeping out fire ants. Brandon, Jasmine's boyfriend, came out one day and didn't realize where he stepped out the car at and had a little pile right on the side. I didn't realize it because I cut the grass 2 days before. Sometimes them piles just pop up. Stepped in and them things ate him alive. Felt so bad for him because he didn't realize what had hit him until he started itching and moving and all that other good stuff. But when you think about ants, what use do they have? But that's something we can learn from them. Ants are more than just picnic ruiners. You ever had an ant? You ever been outside and tried to enjoy it? Oftentimes, you'll see those little rascals coming in. And sometimes, because they're so small, they're really hard to keep out of your homes. You have to be vigilant sometimes. When it rains, you wonder, how in the world did ants get in here? I thought I had every crevice blocked up, every crack sealed, and somehow, some way, they still make it in. They're very industrious. So we're going to learn some lessons from the ant. They are great examples of effective, efficient work groups. We think about the work of the church. We think about our mission. You know, our mission, especially as leaders, is to find places for our members to work so that the body can function more efficiently. That's what it's about. That's what it means that we equip workers. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 is about, I believe. Not four, 11 through 12, when it talks about he made some teachers and all those things, and ministers and evangelists, and for what? For the equipping of the saints for work. And one of the things we can always do better and be more efficient at is the work of the church. So we're going to learn some lessons about the ant. Ants communicate for five major reasons. Number one is alarm. They warn the whole colony when danger approaches. That's why when you kill one, it seems like 2,000 come after you. They release what science calls pheromones into the air, and you don't always understand it. You just didn't pay attention. Sometimes you didn't even mean to. But when they get that shit in the air and how God designed them, they realize there's danger. What about us as Christians? Wouldn't that be great if we operate that efficiently? We won't work towards it. That's one of our goals. But when someone's in danger, able to watch out for one another, when we see one another heading down the wrong direction, heading and straying away from God, we ought to be as diligent as these ants and send out pheromones. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe the world has beat them up. Maybe they strayed away. Maybe sometimes it's due to church hurt. But those pheromones, we should be sensitive enough in the Lord's church to pick up on it. 1 Timothy 4 and 2 gives us an example. We are to watch out for one another. Satan is out to destroy us all. We must remain always sober and vigilant. Admonishing and rebuking is also part of warning others as well. So they send out signals and they communicate when there's danger. Another reason they communicate is attraction. Their scents attract other ants. Christians are called to be the salt of the earth. In a wonderful Bible study this morning, we talked about the fact that we are light. We ought to be a reflection of Christ. That's what it mentions in Revelation chapter 11 when those two lights, those two candlesticks, and those two olive trees we talked about this morning, we ought to be drawing folks to Christ by how we live our lives. That's what it's about. And oftentimes, before they listen to one of your sermons or one of your teachings, they're going to look and see how you teach, what's your life. That's oftentimes what they follow. But ants do this. They also do it and communicate to recruit. Do you realize ants actively recruit each other for the good of the whole colony? Kind of what Brother Grady was talking about on Wednesday, and we're on the same page and working down the same street. That's how Providence works. But, you know, we have to understand, we're here. We ought to be out trying to recruit as many folks as we can to Jesus. Bringing them into the fold, inviting them, thinking about them, checking on them. Find a way to be useful. Find a way to bridge that gap of relationship. Because when it all boils down to it, that's what it's about. How are Christians won? One at a time. And most folks will tell you that they came to know the truth because they had a relationship with a significant person already in the church. I know I did. I wouldn't have been here if not for Sister Regina. I thought when we went and we started dating in college, I hope she'll mind me telling this, we started dating in college, I thought them folks was as crazy as two left shoes. Because I went and they didn't have any drums, no piano. Then the elders met me and they asked me if they have any questions. I was like, I got a whole bunch of them. You just wait. I'm coming back. I'm going to load you up. But at least I had enough sense to read it for myself. And then I start questioning and scratching. And went, what is this all this? Why we do all this? And they doing what the Bible says. So next time I went, I don't have any questions. I got them answered. I just kept going back till I got my questions answered. Then I knew I had a decision to make. Don't wait. But all it took was some time of relationship, some time being patient as we struggle with those things. So we see that. So they do it and communicate to recruit others. They also are in the business of grooming one another. Ants are some of the cleanest creatures God has ever made. You know, oftentimes we just think of, you know, things like monkeys, when they start picking stuff off people, there's probably no cleaner animal than an ant. They're constantly grooming each other, looking out for each other, making sure that they're in good shape. Christians are given the task of grooming one another in many ways. You and I are to esteem others better than ourselves. It's not about us. That's why when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we have missed a chance to groom one of our other ones. We have missed a chance to encourage or to provoke love. And I was talking to someone maybe 2 weeks ago, and I told them they were still not really faithful in attendance. And I said, you know what you're doing? You are robbing people of their blessings. How selfish of you. Now, they got mad, but I really didn't care because it's the truth. Because all they kept saying, well, I'm having issues. I'm having problems. Everybody got issues and problems. What's it have to do with you, what you owe me and what I owe you? So it's part of provoking love for one another. We're also able to recognize when others are hurting or discouraging, dying or rejoicing. Do we do this? Do we care enough about souls to hurt when they hurt? Do we care enough about souls to rejoice when they rejoice? Oftentimes we do this. Don't bother me with it. I ain't got no time for it. But is that the mindset of Christ? What's a problem for you ought to be a problem for me. And when I'm hurting, you ought to hurt. Why? Because you love me enough and it's not about you. So sometimes we miss that point. And sometimes that's what it really takes. Sometimes you may can't do anything about anybody's situation. But oh my goodness, it makes a difference to know somebody cares. Somebody was thinking about you. You know, oftentimes we see this. Things when we lose loved ones. You know, some folks don't like to be around folks who've lost others. And they say things like this. I don't know what to do. Just be there. You don't have to say anything. Just sometimes the mere presence of you can make things better. That's part of how we groom one another. That's part of how we work together. And they also attract or communicate in order to reproduce. We as Christians are given the command through the gospel to make disciples out of all creatures. What does it mean to make a disciple? That means that really the church should be like a factory, where we come in and produce folks to be like Christ and send them right back out there in the world to lead other folks to Christ. That's the mindset we should have. We're to make disciples of all creatures. Teaching the whole truth produces Christians and Christians only, but make no mistake about it. Can't just be about pew warming. We got to be willing to teach folks and get back out there in the world and help them. As they grow, we grow. As they grow, Christ is glorified. As they become more like Christ by teaching and seeing examples in the church, they become stronger as well. Ants do this by their own very nature. There's no communication. Have you ever seen it? You know, I tell you what, if you've ever really seen ants want to come after you, get close to that queen. Now, I've never seen it. I've just seen it on TV and stuff like that. Man, they will give their lives when they get close to the queen. What about us when it comes to Christ? When they begin to attack our Lord and Savior, are we willing to defend him with our life? Jude 3 tells us that we are to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered unto saints. Is that our mindset, to contend for truth that diligently and then aggressively? It ought to be. It ought to be. Because that's what it is. We're talking about Lord, I don't know how many fights I've seen in school started because somebody said something about somebody's mama. Now, they don't care about you talking. Your father, they don't care about you. Let you know that right. You can talk and call it their father, everything but a child of God, but you bet not ever say nothing about their mama. I don't understand that, being a father. I'm here too, just like Mother's Day and Father's Day. I get to that when it gets a little closer. I get to that a little bit later, but you think about it. They don't want you talking about their mama for some reason. They will defend you. They will hit you. They will fight you tooth and nail. And all you did was say something that wasn't true. The way I try to calm them down in the school, because it doesn't just start in elementary. I mean, middle school and high school. It starts in elementary school. They said something about my mama. They said she was ugly. Is she ugly? No. So why are you worried about it? Well, that's my mama. That's the reason I get when I'm trying to defuse situations. But you got to like the vigor. You got to like the fact that they're willing to stand for something. What about when they talk about our Jesus? We ought to be willing to fight the world. When they say, you know, as we talked about this morning, the two witnesses and they're lying dead in the street. That's an example of God's word being dead. Are we willing to stand and fight for it? Are we willing in this world that persecutes us just for saying that we're Christians? Are we willing to stand and fight? Another important thing about the ants is that their labor is highly developed and divided. Ants specialize in certain areas in order to help the colony survive and flourish. And guess what? They don't care who gets the credit, because they're all about working together. That's the same mindset we should do in the Christians. Many times we're like this. talking to family. We're doing a good work, and if everybody else ain't doing it, we get man quit too. Who are you working for? First of all, you're working to be paid by men. You already going to have your reward. It's easy to do. Sometimes when it feel like you're all alone, but we got to constantly remind ourselves, why do I do what I'm doing? Why do I do? Why do I teach a class? Why do I do whatever it is? It ought to be for glorification of the master. But sometimes we fall into that. God has Christians in the body. Each and every one of us is different. You have a different role in the Lord's body than I do. We have that responsibility. You're different. God added you to the body. Maybe you're not an eye. Maybe you're a big toe. You may say, well, big toe is not an important. Stubborn in the night. See how more important it is. See how much it shuts you down. You'll lay on the floor, rolling around, crying like a baby for one of your little digits on your foot about that long. Lose it. Some people lose it, whether it be disease or injuries. They have to learn how to walk again. Because that's your balance. That's your balance. Something that small can make a difference. So we don't need to be in the mindset, well, I don't matter. Maybe you're the big toe and help other folks stay balanced. God designed us that way, and it's beautiful the way it does. There are several specialized positions even within the Lord's colony or the church. We have things going down, what we call foragers. You know, ants, one of the roles is forager. What is a forager? These are the ants. Usually, I'm explaining them in plain terms. Them, the two, three, four that show up at a picnic and go back and tell everybody that's where the food is. You ever notice that? You see two or three. They find food. Don't make no mistake, they're not communicating. They're telling them, over here, they got a bunch of food. And no, you know, you got a whole blanket full of ants. And you, where did they come from? It was just two or three. I wasn't going to kill them, but they found food. Part of the responsibility of leadership is to make sure the congregation is being fed healthy spiritual food. Part of our responsibilities is that. That's preachers, elders, deacons, leaders. If we don't have elders and deacons, that's preachers along with the leaders, making sure that we're eating nourishing spiritual food, not spiritual junk food. So we have that. They hunt for food. They find land that's suitable to build a colony. And also, while they're looking to relocate and looking to grow, their eyes are always constantly looking out for predators. You know, leaders ought to have that mindset as well. We ought to make sure that we're not leading others into danger. We ought to make sure that we have our eyes and ears open to false doctrine creeping in unaware. As we talked about this morning, it doesn't happen overnight. That's not the way it works. It happens little by little. Before you know it, just like at the beach. If you've been to the beach in water, sometimes you're just out there wading in the water, and you think you're in front of the place where you got set up at. Next thing you know, you're about 15, 20 yards down the coast. And it didn't even feel like it. You didn't say, whoa, I'm moving that fast. The current just kind of carries you a little further away, and sometimes even further out. I got to be concerned about that because I can't swim. So I'm up there playing with the kiddies in the 3 foot. I know that. I'm just going to go down. I ain't going backwards. But when you think about it, you don't even notice it. That's the way we should be. They also make up the smallest percentage of colony workers, these foragers. They have a responsibility. They do their job, and then there's other folks and other people in the colony to help. The age of the ant also determines what they're allowed to do in the colony. Younger ants always stay closer to the colony and the queen. So oftentimes when you get close to that nest, they are given early on in their ant lives the responsibility of losing their life and giving their life for the queen. But they are also thoroughly trained before ever allowing to venture away from the colony. Our responsibility is to train up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers do it, but we also have responsibility to be in the Lord's church. Train them up so they are low and learn. We got some great young folks here, some great young preachers and teachers and song leaders and all that. Keep training them. You know, there was once a time, maybe you hadn't been in a situation, well, unless you was grown and had a job, you didn't work around the Lord's table. Now, I've never agreed with that because we say there's no probationary period in the Lord's church. As soon as they are able to understand, we need to be putting them to work. Age has nothing to do with it. The more and the earlier you get them involved, the more chance you have of keeping them tied to the truth. You know, I heard a lot of folks say, well, you know, back then, y'all out, you know, young ones to do this. And yeah, back then we couldn't. If you wasn't a grown man with two jobs, what does that have to do with you working for the Lord? Especially when we're not under the age to do so in that particular area. But as soon as we can, we need to start training them. The church needs to operate in the same way. But guess what? Older ants, think about this now. Older ants are specifically assigned to protect and defend the younger ants. Is that not what Titus tells us? When the older men and the older women are to teach the younger men and younger women, we have a responsibility. You know, I'll just say this. Especially on Wednesday nights, we have a lot of young folks coming here who don't have any kind of training of what it takes to be a young man and a young woman. What better place to teach them in the Lord's church? They're loud sometimes, and they disrespectful sometimes, and yeah, they get loud. I'm just being honest. But look at where they come from. They don't have what we have. We can't say where the parents at. What kind of mindset is that? They hear, teach them. Build a relationship with them. You don't have to do all of them. Just one or two. Make it your point. You'll be surprised how far that goes down the road. If they don't teach them, who's going to teach them? That's responsibility of the parent. Well, we understand that, but it's our responsibility too. Because if not, we violate what it tells us in Titus chapter 2. All it takes is just reaching out. You don't have to agree with it, but they need it. This is the only place. Why do they keep coming? Well, they're probably getting something out of it. At least somebody noticed them. Maybe just teaching them a little bit about God, planting that seed, will make a difference in their life. We ain't got to be looking on the hearts, and we can't see the future. But we ought to be planting and sowing as much as possible. Make it your point just to reach out to them. Even if you just speak to them. Don't have to be harsh. Consider where they come from. One of the things I encourage you to do, if you want to know why they act that way, ride with me on the van sometime. I can show you why. I promise you I can. But they are souls in need of someone to teach them. So we have an opportunity, and all we have to do is be willing to reach out to them. They are not allowed also just to remain young, immature ants either. When you think about this, they are really just about to be kicked out. Ants have this timetable in their mindset. You know, when they ought to be working and they're not progressing, they're about to be out the column. Now, I'm not saying we should do that as Christians, but the Bible also tells us what? Hebrews 5:13-14. For the time when we ought to be teachers, we have some who we're in need of teaching ourselves. So God expects us to grow. He didn't say at the same rate, but growing is not an option. But we also need to be growing, and that shows that we're healthy. And we're moving forward, and we're also doing something to, at least ants, speaking in terms of ants, doing something to make a healthy colony. Another thing ants never do, they never forage alone, especially when predators are near. Now, when you think about that, do we see the beauty and the genius and the wisdom in God setting up a plurality of elders and deacons in the church? That's one of his checks and balances. You know, we don't have to apologize because we don't have the grand potentate sitting somewhere in Middletown, USA, telling us what we need to do here. It's not the way it is. They got so many missionary associations and all this other stuff that you got to jump through. I've been there before. Some of you have been in denomination. You can't do nothing without the convention telling you. You go to the convention, they tell you what to think, what to teach, and it's usually one person's ideas who has enough influence to get enough votes. God has checks and balances. So if one church goes away awry, then everybody else doesn't. So we have that in our mindsets. We need others to walk alongside us also for our spiritual battle. You know, that's how we survive. It's not always about you. You know, many of us, Brother Graydon, John, and so many others have served in the military. If you can't trust that person in your foxhole with you, you're in trouble because he's supposed to have your back. But if he gets scared and tuck, tail, and run, and you got that feeling, you're never going to be as efficient a soldier as you can be. So we need to know other folks are going to be there with us. We need to be willing to walk with others. No one can do the work of the whole colony alone. But you got to do your part. I have to do my part. And if we do our parts, then God gets glorified and the work of the church gets done. So don't feel like we have some members in the church who feel like they got to do everything and then they complain about doing everything. Nobody said you had to do everything. One of the hardest things for me to learn to do, I'm just being honest, was to learn the blessings of delegating. That's hard for some folks. I'm a doer. If it ain't getting done, I'm just going to roll up and get it done. But you know what? I'm going to kill me and everybody else around me, one way or the other. Whether it be my efforts, whether it be me turning bitter against them, no, we need to delegate. There's nothing wrong with it. Part of good leadership is knowing when to delegate. We don't have to do it all. So somebody may come to you and ask you to do this little task and this little task. But part of leadership and part of working efficiently is learning to delegate our responsibilities. When Christians step up to help out, no one gets burned out. Problem sometimes is we get burned out. And we carry the load, and we're just human. We go through those. We go through those burnout periods. If it ain't happening to you, keep living. See what will happen. There are going to be some times when your effort's there and you don't have the same zeal you used to. Maybe you're burned out. And it could be because of your doing. Also, it could be because maybe you've been carrying that load too long. That's why we all have to help carry. You ever seen that with an ant, getting back to my lesson? You ever wonder how they, those little ants, small as they are, can carry a big old Ruffles potato chip? Walking away, seems like it's walking away by itself, 10 times their strength. They have this innate design that basically get extra energy, but also, that's a whole, it ain't just one ant, I'm putting that usually. Looks that way. There's usually 3 or 4, and they strategically place themselves to kind of even out that weight. They're smart. That's why you don't see potato chips being drugged to wherever they're at. They are carried, moving efficiently. No part touching the ground. There's some folks on there who decide, well, you get on this corner, you get on that corner, you get on that corner, you get on that corner. And they get it done. And they're happy because all of them eat. All of them eat. Learn some things from the ant. I said before, they're able to tap into extra energy when danger is great or food is scarce. We need to be able to do this when we face persecution. Church, if you don't believe it or not, we're under persecution. We need all hands on deck. We have a job to do in a world that's dead set against anything of God, dead set against definitely one Lord, one faith, and one body. We got some work to do. But if we stand unified and decide to work and answer the bell of our own calling, then the work of the church gets done. Ants also learn by teaching and observing one another. Forager ants will always lead others to the food source. That's what it's about. You know, we live in a world with this religion's division that the grand potentate, he's what it's all about. Can't do nothing, can't say nothing, can't do. You got those folks who are leaders and they think they run everything, and they'll let you know that too. This is not our church. This is the Lord's church. Peter himself admonished those who, what? Exercise lordship over his church. This is not ours. We're just stewards. But that's not the way it is in the world. But we do it together. The teacher ant also adjusts his pace according to how they're following him. So when you're teaching others, don't run off and leave them. Don't expect them to learn at the same pace you do either. They got to learn. But we don't take them into consideration. We do more damage than a little bit. And one of the things I learned, I always had to try to remind myself of, or rather trying to teach others about the truth, is how long I went through my sticking points. No, I'm telling myself, it wasn't hard to understand elders when I was taught about it. I liked that idea because I got so tired of that head dicking where I was, thinking they ran everything. You know about that, Grady? They exercise lordship and power. They get drunk with it. I like that. Wasn't hard for me to do away and change my mindset on singing. It wasn't hard. But an instrument thing, once I really got used to the beauty of hearing voices, I didn't need that anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you that was a sticking point early on when I was learning the truth. But I decided to do what God said was best. So those are the things we have. It wasn't a problem for me to understand one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The mindset was, how do we get that point? And why do we not like others? So we all go through those points in our own spiritual walk. So we learn from one another. If some ants lag behind, they slow down. If everybody's keeping pace, they pick it up. That's why it's so important to be mindful of others. And this last point is, ants always make their nest out of the same material. Ain't we glad that that's the way God designed the Lord's church? Now, it's not that way in the world because of apostasy. You know, just because many folks in the world have Church of Christ on that outside, you better go inside and check it out. Because they're doing some things that are foreign to the Lord's church. I had my sister-in-law here this morning. She was talking about praise dances and stuff like that going on in the Lord's church. What kind of mess is that? But we ain't the only ones. All kind of stuff. And they tell you, they do it, we can do it. Boy, some churches of Christ got the sound on the building. You go into and it's just like a rock concert. No different. Straight away. You may say there's nothing wrong with it. What's right with it? Just do what God asks us to do. All kind of things, they change it in the name of modernism, in the name of being like nations around them. The same problem Israel had. What's wrong with doing it the same way? Ants always build their nests out of the same thing. You know, sometimes I think we are worse enemies because we say, well, you know what? If we did this, we could fill this building up. But what you filling it up with? I learned. Entertainment don't work. It's the word of God. There's nothing wrong with entertaining, but that's what you're doing. You can get big crowds. We can fill this building up twice over. Offer free meals. See what happens. Offer it. Just offer it. They'll be as pious and as holy as they can be till they eat and burp. Then they're gone. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but also we need to keep in mind that whatever we do, Christ and the gospel needs to stay in focus. The Church of Christ should do the same. We ought to have a mindset, and we ought to just, not in a braggadocious way, we ought to just thank God that we're able to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Church, that's awesome. That's awesome. And if it was true for them, it ought to be true for us. Why can't we do? Well, what's wrong with the old past? It tells in Jeremiah. It says to seek the old past, doesn't it? Jeremiah chapter 6. What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. I love it. You ain't got to answer for nobody. You ain't got to worry about changing it because this thus saith the Lord. Same thing they used to make the nest. Conclusion, so many lessons to learn from the ant. God has the ability to teach godliness and Christian behavior by any means necessary. So when you look at this, ants can teach us. The next time they start to invade your picnic, see what you can learn from them. Now, I'm not saying stay there and get stung up. Because sometimes they get out of hand, they got their own business, but it made me look at them differently from a distance. I can look at them on TV and learn a lot of stuff, but they're in my yard, they got to go. That's just me, though. That's just me. But aren't we glad that God gave us something as simple as an ant to learn? It talks about working. We just read in Proverbs 6, nobody had to provoke it, nobody had to ask it, nobody had an agent to overseer, they just went to work. You know, sometimes we just got to see something that needs to be done and do it. You don't need permission, you don't need a whole bunch of checks and balances, you don't need to run it through 5,100 people. Sometimes you just need to do it. And if it's for God, he'll bless you for it. And sometimes that could be what we need to encourage others. I was talking to someone this morning. We don't realize that, you know, other folks are watching us. Somebody may be just watching you, how you respond to a certain situation, how you talk about even the work of the church. Now be careful about saying that, because we're always complaining about what we do and being a Christian. Who wants to be a part of that? Wants to be a part. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying just like families, we don't have disagreements. But I'm saying, what are you focusing on? We got somewhere to go. It's going to get better for us if we don't quit and give up. But that's why all these things, being a part of one another's life, all these things go into play as far as making us very efficient and effective workers. We have a job to do. How do we know we can do it? Well, you look at God's numbers. You look at the fact, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. And we brag about that, and we should. That's great. But do you realize there's probably over a million folks in that city? Close to it? That's not a good percentage. So God ain't concerned about numbers. 3,000 folks, along with the apostles, are one of the reasons why we're here today. You ever thought about that? Somebody planted a seed. Somebody kept it going. And we'll talk about, we're going to get to it in Revelation, this church in the wilderness. Whew. You're going to see some stuff then. Church never went away. Never went away. It was always in existence. Maybe not visibly, maybe not in front of other folks. So that's when we're talking about things like restoration. We just basically dusting it off. It was still there. We got some folks who erroneously believe they started a church again. No, sir, no, ma'am. They did not. It was always there. God said it would. When Christ said in Matthew 16:18 that the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that means it will last all throughout time. And it's still here. 2,000 some odd years later. Beautiful, because God's going to keep his words and keep his commandments. What must we do to be saved? Must hear the gospel, believe what we have heard, repent of sins, confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins that makes us placed in Christ Jesus. Then, as I said this morning, you really start to really know who he is. Because Paul told us this morning to know him, but he also wanted to know the power of his resurrection. Oh, my goodness. If that's all we had to do was thank God for him getting up early on the third day, that's enough to thank him back till he comes back. Thank him for that he comes back. We got so many other blessings that we can thank him for. So many other things he does to us, and none of us deserve it. From time to time, we fall short. Remember now, when you are in the body, just like that ant colony, each and every one of us has a responsibility. It's not your responsibility. Everybody can't be teachers. Everybody don't need to be, but there's so many other things they can do. Preachers, there's so many other things you can do. Sometimes we say, well, I'm not this, I'm that. Yeah, you can. But also, just being brutally honest, we have to do a better job being leaders and giving folks areas that they can work in so they can provide and help them to be organized and use their talents. And that's something we'll work on in the future, near future and the far future, to keep working, doing better with. Any other, is anyone, as we stand, let us stand. And if you have one desire to put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we ask you to please come forward and sing a verse of 576. There's a fountain.